I'm really delighted to be here today, ladies. You know, years and years ago, I took a class from Florence Littauer, who is a Christian, and would teach women how to public speak and write books if they were a writer or whatever. So I took that class in San Diego, and she said to me, "You are not a public speaker, Gloria." But nobody told the Lord, because I keep getting asked to speak. But honestly, so I said, all right, Lord, then I'll stop speaking. But it didn't happen. Well, this is the thing, ladies. The most pivotal point in my life was when I was 13 years old and I came down with tuberculosis. And I had to go to a sanitarium 8 hours away from my family. It was pretty frightening when you're 13 years old. And my family couldn't visit me very often because we were 8 hours away. My dad owned a small appliance store, which he had to keep open. It cost a lot of money to go to the sanitarium that I had to cure in. And I had a brother and a sister still at home that were going to school, so they couldn't come and visit me very often. There was no TV in the early 50s. Phone calls were expensive, so I couldn't be chatting on the phone. So at 13 years old, when you're isolated in this small room with no visitors, and you had to have your hands straight down at your side with a very flat pillow because you were curing from this tuberculosis. Well, I was a very devout Catholic, and I used to pray to Mary, and I used to pray to St. Jude, you know, for impossible things, and St. Anthony, and do the rosary and all those things. But I was so frightened and alone, I began to pray, and the thought came to me, I better go right to the top. I better go to Jesus. Why am I praying to these other people? Who do you think prompted me to go to the Lord Jesus Christ? Even though I wasn't born again at 13 years old, I was what you would call very religious Catholic. But even before we were in our mother's womb, God knew he was going to choose us. And he chose who our parents were going to be, where we're going to grow up, where we're going, what kind of job we're going to have, what color hair we're going to, everything about us. Well, it was the Holy Spirit of God that prompted me to pray to the Lord Jesus. So as a 13-year-old, I would pray for very foolish things. Oh, Lord, if my parents would bring me a present, I'd make me so happy. And they would bring me a present. Oh, Jesus, if Tommy would play my favorite song, and he would. Yes, they were foolish, silly things a 13-year-old child would pray, but it was God saying to me, I'm here. I am here for you. Your parents can't be here. You can't have visitors. You can't watch TV. You can't do crafts, but I'm here. So that was a pivotal point in my life. And from that point forward, I prayed about almost everything. Well, cured of tuberculosis, graduated from high school, never wanted to go to college. But in my heart of hearts, I wanted to be a secretary. So I got a job at Mobil Oil Company headquarters as a stenographer. I could wear a hat, gloves, and go up in an elevator. And I thought, I have arrived. Well, I had a friend who worked for Mobil Oil Company also. She was a bookkeeper, and she came out to California on a vacation and came back, and she said, oh, Gloria, the sun shines all the time. There's swimming pools. There's movie stars, palm trees. I said, we ought to quit our jobs and go there. So we did. We saved $500 each. We took a DC-9, took us all night long to come across 3,000 miles. But we had to arrive in the morning because we didn't have a job. We didn't have a place to stay. So we had to take a DC-9. Anyway, we asked our landlady, where do people go to meet people, other young people? She said, well, the Palladium. And then sometimes the Hotel Roosevelt, they have a live band on Saturday night. So we went to the Palladium first week. Second week, we went to the Hotel Roosevelt. And this very tall, handsome, young Jewish man asked me to dance. And we got acquainted and visited a little bit. And then he said, well, could I take you home? And I said, oh, no, not unless you take my roommate, too. I can't go home with you. Well, my roommate was 6'2". And I'm 6 feet. He said, well, I have this little black Jaguar sports car convertible. It only has 2 seats. I said, well, I can't go home with you. I said, but wait a minute. She could sit on my lap. So there we are in the breeze. And he took us both home. Well, he began inviting me to go out to lunch and go see the Pacific Ocean and go see the desert. Well, I kept saying, no, no, no. And then I thought, are you crazy, Gloria? He wants to take you to nice places in this little Jaguar sports car. You ought to go. After all, you're not going to marry the guy. You're Catholic. He's Jewish. It could never happen. So we started to date, and he courted me for 1 year, and we fell madly in love. But I wanted to get married in my little Catholic church in Springfield, Vermont. He wanted to get married in Las Vegas, so we kept breaking up and getting back. That went on for a year. My mother said, Gloria, you're going to force his hand if you say, I'm going to quit my job and go back home. So I did. He said, do you need money for a plane fare? I thought, what does my mother know? Look at this. I quit my job and I'm on my way home and I love this man dearly. I have to take this gum out of my mouth. I have a very dry mouth and I thought the gum would help. But I have to get a piece of tissue. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. I have Sjogren's, and it's dry mouth and dry eyes. That's another thing that happens when you get old, ladies. I hate to tell you, you shrivel up. Either that or you leak. Oh, it's a terrible thing. Well, as it happened, I went home in November to Vermont, and in January, the first day of January, he said, will you become officially engaged to me? And of course I would. And he said, I'll get married wherever you want. So we got married in that little Catholic church in Springfield, Vermont. But this is what happened. He sold the Jaguar sports car and got a family car. We didn't go on a honeymoon. He wanted a Siamese cat, a home, and babies. There was no more lunches. There was no more trips and movies and socializing. He was 29. I was 22, and he wanted to settle down. I thought, this can't be. This can't be. What happened to the man with the little Jaguar and the little hat and just tootling around all over, going to nice places for lunch and nice for dinner? It was wonderful. Now we're watching fish in the aquarium for entertainment. That was his idea of fun. Well, we immediately got a Siamese cat. Immediately, a few months later, bought a home. And I was pregnant a few months after we got married. We had 2 daughters, and our fun was watching fish. I was desperately unhappy, and I thought, what have I done? This is not the man that courted me. Who is this man? I don't even recognize this man. But I knew divorce was sin. And I absolutely didn't want to offend God. I was very, very religious and didn't want to go to hell. But in my heart of hearts, I thought, oh, if he would just die, if he would die, I'd be free. See, I didn't think murder was sin. Divorce. Oh, yeah, that's sin. But he didn't die, and praise God he didn't. But I escaped with alcohol. And I would have to say I was identified as an alcoholic. I was bad. Well, that went on for 15 years. And then we needed to look for a new home. My husband had to commute from Hacienda Heights to Burbank. So for 2 years, we looked for a home in Glendale almost every single weekend for 2 years. And our daughters would say, oh, not again, looking for a home that was boring. And it was boring. Well, we never found a home with a view. So my husband decided, well, I'll just commute. We'll get a swimming pool for the pleasure of the family, and we'll add on to our home. He said, but I'll look one more time on my lunch hour. And he did. And he found a home on Cielito Drive. And Cielito means little heaven. You could see Catalina on a clear day. You could see downtown L.A., Griffith Park, Glendale. The deer were born in my yard. The bobcats played on my patio. The whole family of deer would walk down my front walk and then sleep in the yard. It was Shangri-La. Truly, truly wonderful. And we bought that home. But when we moved there, there were so many things wrong with the home. There was drug paraphernalia in the house. There was trash. It needed paint. It needed the pool done, the decking, the fencing. Everything needed doing. And I had a daughter that was going into high school, and she thought her life was over, and she was miserable. So, and then I was caring for my mother-in-law, and I had to do her laundry and her cooking and her hiring the caregivers for her. But I would pray, and Jesus would answer. And I would pray, and Jesus would answer. And I prayed for someone to come and help me care for my mother-in-law. And I called an agency, a knock on the door, and it was this Spanish woman that had memorized the entire Bible, that taught herself the piano, that prayed for my mother-in-law as she would care for my mother-in-law and even cooked for our family. Did God not answer that prayer? And then I prayed for my daughter. She thought her life was really over, and she wouldn't do anything, and she was just miserable. So I thought, I'm going to sign you up for Miss Glendale contest. Oh, she didn't want to join the Miss Glendale contest, but I thought, I've got to get her out of the house. Well, anyway, she was first runner up. And she rode in the Rose Bowl. They came and picked her up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she was riding on the Rose Bowl float. And the photographers never focused on the queen. They only focused on my daughter. So it was the hand of God getting my daughter out of that slump. God hears our prayers. I am so grateful having tuberculosis at 13 years old. Because that's when I understood that Jesus heard our prayer and he answers. And oh, yes, many, many times he said no, because I wasn't praying according to the word of God. But when you pray according to for his honor and for his glory, he answers in spectacular ways. I believe it was really the goodness of God, the goodness of our God, that led me to repentance. So I said to the Lord, I can't keep taking. You keep giving and giving, and it's so lovely what you do for me. What can I do for you? I thought, oh, this is it. It's all November and it's All Souls Day. I can get those souls out of purgatory and get them right into heaven if I pray right. There is no purgatory. But I was taught that in the Catholic Church, so I thought that's what God wanted me to do. But at that very next time when I went to church, this woman said, would you like to join a Bible study? As religious as I was, I don't ever remember owning a Bible. I only knew the little bit of the homily that I would get in the Catholic Church. But I went to an estate sale, and I bought an old King James Family Bible. And I said, I'll go to that Bible study one time, but if they make me feel stupid, I'm not going to continue on in that Bible study. They said, open the book to Ecclesiastes. I didn't even know how to spell Ecclesiastes. But they never made me feel stupid. And that was the beginning of my studying the Word of God. And on this hill in Shangri-La, there were three houses on that private drive. And one house belonged to Laurel Martin. I don't know if any of you know Laurel Martin. She's going on 99 years old. She's been going to this church over 50 years, 55 years now, I think. And she asked me to join her Bible study, and we went to Lorraine Austin. And Lorraine Austin taught John MacArthur when he was a child. It was a small Bible study, and she really took me under her wing, and she would say, "Now, Gloria, do you see what the Bible says about the rock? And do you see what your church says about the rock? Peter, the church wasn't built on Peter the rock. It was Jesus the rock." And she would point these things out one by one. And of course, I came to the conclusion that one was right and one was wrong. And I knew it was the Bible that was absolutely true and amen, the word of God. So I did want Jesus to be the Lord of my life, and I did need to leave the Catholic Church. And Laurel Martin brought me to Grace Community Church 48 years ago. But this is what I said. You can't imagine the wretchedness of this heart of mine. I said, "Oh, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, and I want to study the Bible, and I want to be a woman after your own heart, but I'm not giving up my smoking and my drinking." I was so enthralled with those drugs, I thought, what would life be like without alcohol and cigarettes? But it wasn't long after that. God isn't going to let one of his children continue down that evil path. He delivered me from my alcohol and my drugs, but this is the Lord. I never got DTs, and I was a heavy drinker. I never had an automobile accident, and I drove drunk, and I never had a DUI. God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Do we serve a gracious God? When I continued studying the word, you see what I mean, what happened? I should have worn my knee pads, too. It would help me stand here. I came to that place that said we're not to be unequally yoked. I thought, what have I done? I married this Jewish man. There's a Christian man out there that God had for me, and I missed it. What have I done? Oh, this is the pits. But studying further the word of God, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. There is no plan B for our life. It is plan A. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. My husband is exactly who God wanted for me. He could have prevented that marriage. He could have kept him out of my life altogether. But he used my husband as a tool to make me who he wanted me to be. I needed to love him with my whole heart and to come under his authority. Oh, I cooked and cleaned and did his laundry and served him and was his helpmate, but there was no love in there. And God wanted me to love that man just like Jesus loves me. So I began treating him with love and respect and coming under his authority, made his favorite meals, complimented him on small things. Not flattery, but really small things, and then began touching him more and hugging him and talking gently and sweetly and lovingly to this man that I married so many years ago. Now I'm crying. Oh, goodness, I wish this wasn't recorded. You know what I was doing, dear ones? I was making a mold. I was doing loving things, acting lovingly, speaking loving words. We make the mold, and then God pours in the cement. And then I loved my husband with my whole heart and being. That's what God does. You do the loving things, and then he puts the love within my heart. But that love didn't come back, because when you're not a believer, you don't have it in you to love, really love somebody. Oh, he never abused me, and he was kind to me, and I believe he was faithful, and he was a good provider. But he doesn't have the love of the Holy Spirit to love back. So I just had to accept that, because I understood it. Well, Bill responded to my love and submission, and God began to restore the years that the locusts had eaten. The swarming, crawling, consuming, chewing locusts that had eaten away at our marriage. And who do you think the locust was? I was that locust that did that to our marriage. I was the swarming, consuming, chewing locust that did that to my marriage. But I repented, and I asked God to forgive me, and he did. And from that time, our marriage was much, much sweeter. And I loved my husband with all my heart. Well, 9 years ago, my husband battled cancer for 5 years. And then in 1917, he died. He was dying. I read Psalm 107 to him. And the second time around, you know, Psalm 107, the Jews were afflicted. They would cry out to God, and God would answer. They were in trouble, and they'd cry out, and God would answer. Afflicted and answer and answer. And the second time around, when I was reading that psalm to my husband, he said, I don't want to do that. And I honestly, as far as I can recollect, those were the last words my husband ever spoke. And at another time during this 5 years that he was going through cancer, I asked him if he believed in God, and he said, no. I don't want to think where my husband is today. That's too hard. That's too hard. He died at 2 a.m, and that same morning when I was in my devotions, I opened up my hymnal to page 66. Whate'er my God ordains is right. His holy will abideth. Though dark my road, he holds me that I shall not fall. His hand can turn my griefs away. God gave me that to comfort me. Our God never makes a mistake. He chooses some and he doesn't choose all. But he was the perfect man to make me die to self. He was the perfect tool to mold me and form me into the woman that God wanted me to be. I have no regrets marrying that Jewish man. But I thought when he saw the metamorphosis in me, surely he would want to inquire, what happened to my wife? She went from this drunk, aggressive, domineering woman to this submissive, godly, gentle, not drinking anymore, not smoking anymore. But he wasn't chosen. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord, my husband handled all of our finances, the house, the repairs, the insurance, the banking, all those responsibilities after I became submissive. We were married for 58 years. I'll want to tell you that. It was a long road, a long path that I was on. Now I'm responsible for all these things, and I thought, where do I begin? Oh, Father, I know nothing. I don't even know how to put gas in my car. I don't know how to check the oil. Am I supposed to check the oil? What about the tires? Well, just so overwhelmed. And I had 2 water heaters break. Then I had rats. And then our hillside was slipping. And then the pool, a crack in the pool. And everything was going wrong. I was beside myself. But God was with me. And there was a time that I was bouncing checks, and I remember putting all that information on the bed, and I knelt down and just sobbed I said, Father, I don't know what to do. And I'm bouncing checks and the water heat is broken and the rats are outside and the pool is cracked. Knock on the door. Just as I was on my knees. And a man from the bank said, oh, Mrs. Landman, don't you worry about this. We'll help you through this and take care of it, and you won't have to pay for any of the fees for these bounce checks. We'll take care of it. You don't think that was an answer to prayer as I'm on my knees? And then I learned, because I had no one to turn to, I would go to the Lord. Even when I would go to the bank, I would say, oh, I can't sign that until I go to the Lord and ask for wisdom. And I would pray aloud in front of those men from the bank, and I start giving them Bibles, and I start inviting them to church. But that's what I did. No matter what I did, I would say, I've got to stop right now and commit this work to the Lord, and I know it will succeed if I do. And I would pray, and Jesus would answer, and he would answer. Well, I lost my husband, my home, my best friend, my strength, my stamina. But in my weakness, God's strength was made perfect. His glory was put on display. His strength, not my strength. I was alone now, and he was taking away all the things that I was relying on. But it drew me closer to the Lord. And I have become so dependent on him for everything. You see, he doesn't want us to be strong and independent. He wants us to depend on him. He wants to be our very portion. He is God, and nothing is impossible for God. He wants us to depend on him and be our very portion and our cup, and my cup runneth over since I have become a widow. He didn't want my husband to be a provider. He wants to be my provider. He didn't want my home, and I had to sell my home for after 45 years, that Shangri-La that I lived in, but he didn't want my home to be my comfort. He wants to be my comfort. And there was pride involved in that home, too. I thought, oh, I really am somebody. I've got this big, big home on the hill. I am somebody. God wouldn't have it. He had to take away that pride, and I had to confess it. Then he took away my best friend. Not really taken away because we're still friends, but she lived, there were only three houses on that private drive, and Laurel Martin was one, and I was one. So we were like sisters, and I would see each other almost every day. I would see that woman, and we would pray together and sing hymns together, and I would ask her for counsel, and she mentored me, and God said, no, no, Gloria, you had milk all those years. I want you to come to me. I want you to get the meat. I want you to spend time with me in the Word. So I have to take away that friend. Oh, yes, I see her on weekends, but you know what I'm saying. And then I even had a cat, 17 years with that cat, and the Lord decided, well, that's enough of that, too. And I had to put the cat to sleep. But do you see? God wants to be my very portion. And as he removes these things from my life, he's getting me ready for heaven. I can see that so clearly. And I spend way, way, way more time studying the Word, meditating on the Word, praying the Word, speaking to other people with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Dear ones, when God starts removing things, rejoice and be glad in it. He's preparing you to spend all eternity with him in heaven. I'm not seeking the company like I used to seek. I'm seeking his company. That's what I'm doing. And I know that he's preparing me for heaven. I'm focusing on things that have eternal purpose instead of things of the world. I try to turn away from looking at youthless. That water again. can you edit out all these times I drink water? But this is the thing. Instead of tasting the goodness of God, I'm eating it. I am eating it. I'm not just tasting it. I'm eating it. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Oh, dear ones, don't lament anything God takes from you. Rejoice and be glad in it. He's giving you more time to soak in his word, spend more time with him, singing him, speaking to him. And this is what I decided at the beginning of the year when I came to that realization. I have 2 daughters that are married, 10 grandchildren, and 18 great-grandbabies. That's 48 cards a year that I'm sending. So I have to go and buy those cards. I have to write those cards. I have to mail those cards. I thought, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to speak to my grandchildren in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Every day I ask the Lord to give me a scripture, not a devotional, but a scripture for my grandchildren. And then I text them every day the word of God. And after I text them, I pray for them. The word of God never comes back void. It has power. The word of God has power. Why am I writing happy birthday, happy anniversary, when I can be giving them the word of God? Oh, I'm so happy when I came to that decision not to send all those cards and going through all of that, all of those steps. Even when I send that, like I sent the one, let God arise. And all day long I'm thinking, Lord, as I'm ironing, am I letting you arise? As I'm making that phone call, are you arising in that phone call? It makes me dwell on those scriptures that I'm giving my grandchildren. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and I believe the Holy Spirit empowered me to do that. Well, in my weakness, it is God's strength that is put on display. It is his glory. I pray it's his glory that you see in me today. I pray that you see that it is his strength that you see in me today and not me. Because that's my goal. But I do have to say this, dear ones. I struggle to stay on that path. Oh, the world is always drawing me this way and that way. So I'm not saying I have arrived, because I struggle to stay on that path that God has put me on. But I am rejoicing in it, and I have no regrets. So that's the message I believe God had for you today, ladies. I pray that it resonated in your heart and in your spirit and in your soul. And as God is taking things away from you, you have no regrets. It is just God manifesting his life in you so others can see him. Amen and amen. And I'm going to pray. Oh, Father. So many things were happening this morning that made me so nervous and upset and anxious. But I relied on you, Lord, to give this message to these ladies. And I have to believe that you answered my prayer, that it will benefit them in some way. One little word maybe will resonate with their heart and their spirit, Lord, for they are my sisters in Christ. And I want to be a benefit to them. So thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord, and the food that we will partake of, and the sweet fellowship that we will have while we're eating the sweet food. Amen.